Today, we will consider Psalm 12 for our sermon text, Psalm 12. Let us hear the reading of God's holy word, Psalm 12. To the chief musician on an eight-string harp, a psalm of David. Help, Lord, for the godly man ceases, for the faithful disappear from among the sons of men. They speak idly, everyone with his neighbor. With flattering lips and a double heart they speak. May the Lord cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaks proud things. Who have said, with our tongue we will prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now I will arise, says the Lord. I will set him in the safety for which he yearns. The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. You shall keep them, O Lord. You shall preserve them from this generation forever. The wicked prowl on every side when vileness is exalted among the sons of men. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, that you would bless both the reading and the preaching and the hearing and receiving of your word. And we pray that you would be glorified in your worship, that you would bless and minister to your sheep, that you would gather in those who need salvation, that you would work grace to those who are under the preaching of your word, that you would work all righteousness. And so, Lord, bless us through your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our first point today is the lament for the decline of the godly. Our first verse before us, help, Lord, for the godly man ceases, for the faithful disappear from among the sons of men. In times of great spiritual decline, the faithful express the sentiment, save. A distressful cry that the faithful are disappearing. Faithfulness to biblical truth and godliness, moral behavior. Those holding to truth are harder and harder to find. Saints of old experience great solitude at times. Jeremiah, alone in the dungeon. Paul wrote when he was in prison, only Luke is with him. Elijah thought he was the only one left on earth, zealous for the Lord. We may feel likewise, alone, and it is distressing. This is the most striking evidence of God's judgment on a nation. The decline of orthodoxy in the church, unless reversed, will wax worse and worse over time until complete apostasy reigns. Pulpits catering now to what people want to hear instead of what they need to hear. Seeking to please men and exalt fallen man, but not bring them to Christ, but the vain imaginations of their own corrupt mind. The age of the world and the philosophies that redefine sin and salvation altogether. These words here compose a lament, crying over the dismal state of Christ's church and few who remain faithful to their King, Jesus. Do those around you who clearly state they do not worship God nor confess Christ, do they behold godliness within you? Do they know you regularly, without fail, come to church to worship the Lord? Do they know you speak of the Lord in an honorable way? Do they hear of you speaking of the Lord at all? Do they behold you treating people fairly, looking after other people's interests, interested in their physical and spiritual health? Do they see you the opposite of the ways of the world? Do you not engage any form of fornication, never beholding another's nakedness unless it is your spouse? Do they know you are honest in your financial transactions, paying your debts back, paying bills on time, working honestly and tithing to the Lord each time you receive a check? Are there words you speak always truthful and not evasive? Do you speak truth even when it may cost you dearly? Are you content, or do you have the speech of covetousness, always desiring more of the world's comfort? For that is the means of happiness for most. Both the world for witness and the church for purity and testimony sake need to have the godly among them. Do they know your belief that you have broken the law but confess your sin? Believe in Jesus as your substitutionary sacrifice to grant forgiveness and salvation. Verse 2 and 3 of our text, they speak idly, every one with his neighbor. With flattering lips and a double heart they speak. May the Lord cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaks proud things. Point 2, the flatterer seeks to deceive you. Common tactic of false teachers. Christians feel most like aliens at the workplace, where there's crude jokes and profane laughter. Probably the most vexing thing for us to experience day to day is a lack of good conversation, the lack of Christ-centered discourse where we speak of important issues of the heart. Christians can talk about every subject, and we must inquire to people's welfare at school and work, but interest in what they do and learn from others. But if we do not apply our faith and help people refocus on Christ at work, and if we don't deal with the matters of family and life and relationships, but just gather and have idle chit-chat, How are we presenting ourselves as Christians? Are we presenting ourselves in the classrooms as other unbelievers? As others are mocking God? Are we just sitting silently being vexed like Lot and Sodom? When we pray for reformation, do we put God's truth first? And what is needed for the restoration of the Word of God to go forth with power and conviction? We need plain truth from God's Word, not men's craftsmanship with words. We need God's Word. A double heart is not singular in the love to the Lord. A double heart is an unfaithful heart. Worldly friendships often involve occasionally flattering one another, never speaking hard truths, for that would upset the friendship. Certainly speaking to what God requires of us in His Word is a taboo subject. False teachers in the church seek to use flattering words to draw people to their false doctrine, praising liberty in the flesh, freedom to lust, and deliverance from guilt, for sin is absent in their theology. This prayer seeks the cutting off of those flattering words. May the Lord shut up those who speak a lie, especially those who do so involving His name. Boasting, if not in the Lord alone, is prideful speech. We do not boast of the works we do, but only in the Lord we boast of His works that He did for us. Boasting is never to exalt us, but God alone. Satan tempted Adam and Eve through pride, and pride is the door to all sin. And we must avoid that. False teachers feed pride. They seek to solidify pride in making their followers feel extra important. For they do not want their followers to go in the way of Christ, which is full of humility and self-denial. True Christianity boasts of works of one, Jesus Christ, because true believers practice humility and self-denial. The Lord will overturn boasting against him. He will make fools out of the prideful people of the earth. Psalm 5:9, for there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is destruction. Their throat is an open tomb. They flatter with their tongue. Paul assures the Roman saints that he did not resort to the deceitful tactics of false teachers. For he declares in Romans 16:18, for those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. Our text goes on in verse 4 and 5. Who have said, with our tongue we will prevail, our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? For the oppression of the poor, for the sighing of the needy, now I will rise, says the Lord. I will set him in the safety for which he yearns. Although our country fought the American War of Independence over 8 years, our country fought another war for independence, a war of independence from God. The culture thinks it has won such a war, and so it asks the question in a mocking fashion, who is Lord over us? This is understandable to those who openly express hostility to God. These people have listened to the lies that they are masters of their own will, their own words and thoughts. Enemies think they prevail against God and his people as they seek to do great harm. The Lord arises to be that help to you, believer. Compassionate Christ knows you need him. He will hold you up. He will give you the grace to stand for him and to speak his truth. To counter unfaithfulness, you are to continue faithfully. A very simple response, faithful people. But first, you must study and study well to know what is God's truth and what is Satan's lies. For both are published in church circles and presented as God's way. The help God always gives us is his grace and helps you to become better towards the godly, a better help. He gives us his word, his inerrant word. And the grace he speaks to you through that word is to purify your soul, to purify the church. And he gives all of his elect a love for the truth. And he gives you the Spirit of God to stand faithful to him. To dismiss God, the God of the Bible, is to practice atheism. There are no true atheists, for God speaks to our conscience, and creation itself reveals some of his nature, and the law is evident. But not hoping in God or Christ, not confessing your sins, leaving off worship of the true God and Lord, and disobedience in general is practical atheism. Psalm 10 reveals this arrogant way of thinking. God has forgotten. He hides his face and will not see. That is the sentiment of the ungodly. Ungodly people have no hope and act out of hopelessness. Yet God's people do have eternal hope and must never act as if they have no hope. Now, how do the tongues or words of the ungodly prevail? Speak a lie enough times, people will believe it. Even when we lie to ourselves, it is a pitiful thing to behold in people who mimic what they read and hear and do not apply any analysis as to whether it is true or logical or good. This is pure propaganda. Feed the people a lie, but package it well and make them feel important or free, and you have them on the hook. How true is the American saying, you can fool all the people some of the time, and some of the people all the time, but you cannot fool all the people all the time. This is true in American politics, in commercial advertising, in education, and sadly, in theology as well. We in the faith cannot just confess truth, but pray for truth to guide us and to convict us. When you hear people say to you that you are on the wrong side of history, they are saying your moral stance is wrong and will be proven as such. Now, we have seen in our history the removal of slavery to God's glory. Those who defended it possessed a moral lapse in understanding, at least. Although abortion is legal, it always has been immoral. Although the legal courts do not rule on morality, God does. We who oppose abortion may be in the minority in many respects, but we do not care what history says, but what God says. And so we must always remember that and take that to our heart and have that part of our strong conviction. Job's wisdom in guarding his heart. He says in Job 31, verse 24 through 28, if I have made gold my hope, or said to find gold, you are my confidence, if I have rejoiced because my wealth has, if I have rejoiced because my wealth was great and because my hand had gained much, if I have observed the sun when it shines or the moon moving in brightness, so that my heart has been secretly enticed and my mouth has kissed my hand, this also would be an iniquity deserving of judgment, for I would have denied God who is above. So we continue in our text, verse 6 through 8. The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. You shall keep them, O Lord. You shall preserve them from this generation forever. The wicked prowl on every side when vileness is exalted among the sons of men. Our third point, the Lord's word is pure and he preserves his people. God's pure word, the Lord likens to silver refined seven times over to denote perfection. How wonderful the Psalm. Psalm 119, verse 27 to 28. Therefore, I love your commandments more than gold, yes, than fine gold. Therefore, all your precepts concerning all things I consider to be right. I hate every false way. The Lord provides a reply to the flattering lips of the wicked who wrongly think they have power to do what they will. Sing this psalm for your comfort, Psalm 94, 7 through 12. Yet they say the Lord does not see, nor does the God of Jacob understand. Understand, you senseless among the people, and you fools, when will you be wise? He who planted the ear, shall he not hear? He who formed the eye, shall he not see? He who instructs the nations, shall he not correct? He who teaches man knowledge, the Lord knows the thoughts of man. They are futile. Blessed is the man whom you instruct, O Lord, and teach out of your law, that you may give him rest from the days of adversity until the pit is dug for the wicked. Preserving God's people, the wicked shall not have power either to corrupt, debauch, or to destroy and exterminate the saints. W. Plummer says, William Plummer, that is, on this text. Take heart if you for a season have wandered from faithfulness. You may live in the flesh for a time and season, but the Lord will bring you out of that as well. If that is your sincere prayer, lest we think we have license to sin, for we are covered by Christ's grace. The pulling out is reckoned to pulling something out of a fire, meaning we got burned from our own sin to teach us a good lesson. This is repeated in the New Testament in Jude, verse 22 and 23. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pull them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. The church perseveres and grows in great ways through faithfulness. But if it has declined due to unfaithfulness and decay in teaching and morality, it must hearken to the voice of the Good Shepherd. It must awaken. If you know such Christians who are in spiritual decay, speak a word in season to them and pray on their behalf to the Lord who saves and delivers. We continue to pray for the worldwide church, for its reformation, and include ours within that prayer. Christ not only has the bride in the end, he has a most beautiful bride. The church is identified as the bride. She is beautiful for she is faithful to him and loves and worships her kingly husband, God. So you hear and hear how the wicked exalt themselves. They boast God is dead, and they have ushered in a new world order that is fully divorced from God of the Scripture. We know Christ rules still. He overturns their plots each and every day. Even though there is suffering among his people at the hands of the wicked, the Lord keeps our souls still, and he will show the final triumph over wickedness in the final day. God's people still stand today. We must make our voices heard by not remaining silent, but speaking Christ's redemptive truths, sharing with others their need for the gospel, and we will look to the Lord for help and deliverance still, for his love and commitment to his people and his church is eternal. May you therefore extend praise and glory to your God and Savior. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that you would bless your people. And Lord, when we find ourselves in a spiritual decline, in a moral lapse, Lord, we pray that you would awaken us, that you would draw us up, that you would pluck us out of that fire, Lord, that pit of spiritual decay, and that you will awaken, Lord, our slumber, and that, Lord, even that painful process of rebuke and chastening, that we would express our thankfulness, and that we would have a greater zeal in reforming ourselves and our greater repentance. And, Lord, may we express a greater love and thankfulness to you, and have a greater sincerity in our witness to others, that they too would have a hope in the risen Christ. So Lord, help us to bear witness of you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.